like no other, a king like no other. As recorded in our gospel reading from Matthew, on that first Palm Sunday, we find ourselves at the gates of Jerusalem. The road crowded, cloaks spreading everywhere along the path, palm branches waving. You can wave your palm branches now, I think. Dolly, can I get one of those palm crosses? You can take mine. Okay. So when you hear palm crosses or crosses, just wave. Yeah. When you hear Hosanna, also wave. Yeah. Palm branches waving. Voices rise with expectation and excitement. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It looks like a coronation, but if we look more closely, we begin to realize this is not the kind of king anyone expected. And that is the heart of our message this morning. That is at the heart of our message this morning, a king like no other. Let's do a little quiz here, children. Do we have a king in this country? Any of the children, what's his name? What is he known by? Huh? King Charles, well done. Another question. Who was the last VIP to visit King Charles? Children. Oh, are you a child? Okay, go on then. I know you're eager. Speak out, let's hear. What's his name? Huh? Oh, I just heard City Boy. Is that his name? I didn't say. Okay. They just told me the last VIP to visit King Charles was President Tinubu, right? Okay, children, this is for you. Did any of you see the visit? The visit? Okay. What kind of animal was the carriage attached to? Anyone? The carriage that took him down. I'll give you some choices. A donkey? Sorry, what did you say? Horse, thank you. Well done. What was the carriage like? Anyone else? Was it looking rackety and rugged and rusty? Can someone help me out here? What did it look like? The carriage? Sorry? Gold. Gold. Wow, well done. Clap for yourselves, all of you. Okay. So, Prince Charles, King Charles, Prince Williams, and the rest of the royal entourage, accompanied by the visiting president from Nigeria and his wife came into Windsor Castle on the royal carriage, not on a donkey, gold, they had a golden carriage, and these were not just any kind of horse, you know, well, lovely, beautiful looking horses. There was a magnificent display of power, pomp, and pageantry. The royals quite literally rode out the horses and golden carriages. And yes, I don't know about you, but I didn't see any donkey at all. I looked everywhere. I was following really closely, hoping to catch a glimpse of one donkey. There was not a single one. I suppose there are good reasons for not including donkeys in that royal carriage. In the culture in which this gospel reading was set, as well as in our culture today, interestingly, thousands of years afterwards, donkeys are not symbols of power. What do donkeys represent? What? Peace. Humility. Children, remember Christmas, we sing little donkey, and all that. Remember that? We don't sing golden horses, or, you know. And that's because donkeys represent humility and peace. In the world of our gospel reading, kings rode horses and golden carriages just like kings, when they want to display their power and glory, still ride that these days. But it's not unusual for kings to ride a donkey. Kings can actually, nothing stops them from riding a donkey. If they want to choose not to draw attention to themselves, or if they want a situation in which they want to symbolize that they're coming in peace, or they want to feel like they're associating with their subject, yes, a donkey could be a good choice. So Jesus was making a statement by coming in on a donkey to Jerusalem. He was saying, yes, I am a king, but not the kind of king you think. Paul echoes this beautifully in our first reading from Philippians chapter 2, where he says, Christ, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Brothers and sisters, this is the scandal of Palm Sunday. Can you imagine if those people in the royal court that were supposed to prepare for the royal gathering when President Tinubu visited, if they had to replace those horses with donkeys, what do you think will have happened? Huh? It will have been a scandal. Okay? We will all still have been talking about it now. There will be all sorts of permutations and conspiracies going on. It will have been a scandal. It was a scandal, in a sense, that the King of Glory chose to come in into Jerusalem on a donkey. The King of Glory chose humility. Not forced humility, not reluctant humility, but chosen humility. If you like watching TV series, you must have heard of Undercover Boss. Anyone has seen that program? Where sometimes a chief exec of a business chain would disguise themselves, pretend to be an employee or someone looking for a job, and work within their own company in one of the branches. They often work alongside other staff, eat with them, chat with them, and experience their daily struggles. Sometimes some of those bosses are treated nicely, kindly. Some other times they're treated very, unkindly. What is always amazing is when they reveal their identity and how stunned people are. I think there was one that the chap was about to fire him, actually. And then he said, I'm actually your boss. And the penny dropped. That is what God, something similar is what God has done for us in Christ. Only infinitely more. God did not simply visit our world. He entered it fully. He lived amongst us. He carried our burden. As it has been wisely said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That was what God did through Christ. He emptied himself. He emptied himself to fully participate in our humanity. He sacrificed his one and only Son, Christ Jesus, the King of glory, rode on a donkey. All the golden carriages and the pomp and pageantry was pushed to the side. Rather than having a crown of crowns, he later went for a crown of thorns. The crowd shouting Hosanna in our passage had expectations. They longed for liberation from Rome, from oppression, from hardship. They wanted a king who was powerful, who was warrior-like. But what did they get? A king who rode in on a donkey. A king who came in humility. Jesus came to overturn egos and vainglory. He came to overturn the grip of pride and sin and death. He came, yes, as the King of Kings, but not in the form that everyone else expected. Paul tells us that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Some will argue that is not how kings win battles, or that is not how kings present themselves. But, brothers and sisters, that is how sacrifices are made. And this is the paradox of the gospel. Jesus conquers not by flexing his muscles, not by showing how strong or powerful or glorious or shiny his courage was. Jesus conquers not by taking life, but by giving his own. We know that we live in a world that equates power with control, dominance, and sometimes brute force. If you don't believe what I'm saying, all you need to look at is Venezuela or what is currently happening in Iran. Jesus shows us that true power is found in surrender, in obedience, and love. The cross was not a failure of power. It was the fullest expression of it. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem to crush his enemies. He came to die for them. And that includes you and I. Having said that, the same crowd that shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday would later crucify him by Good Friday. Palm branches would give way to nails. Praise would turn into rejection. And Jesus knew all this was going to happen. Yet, he still chose to riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He knew what was going to happen. He fully understood it. He was not surprised at all. And still he came. The truth should speak deeply to us, because it means Jesus does not love us because we are consistent. He loves us despite our inconsistencies. We all have our Hosanna moments when we wave the palm crosses. When our faith is strong, when our worship is full, and our hearts are open. But we all also have our moments when we shout, "Crucify him." When we turn away, when we doubt, when we fail. And yet, the King still comes. He still calls, he still loves, he still gives himself to us. Palm Sunday does not end at the gates of Jerusalem. Philippians takes us further. Paul talks about God exalting Jesus, the highest place, and gave him the name that is above all names. The story shifts from humility to glory, from the donkey, a lowly donkey, to the throne, from the cross to the place of exaltation. And one day, Paul tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the final truth about our King. He's not only humble, but he is sovereign. He's not only servant, but he is Lord. The King who rode into Jerusalem is the same King who reigns over all of creation, a King like no other. So, what does this mean for us? It means Palm Sunday, as important as it is not just a story to admire. It is rather an invitation to respond. The question is not simply who is Jesus, but what kind of King we will receive. Will we accept Jesus only when he meets our expectations, or would we follow him even when he challenges our expectations? Will we praise him in the crowd but forget him in the quiet moments of obedience? Or are we going to embrace him fully as the humble King, the suffering King, the reigning King? So today, as we have our palms, which we're waving, let us remember, Jesus is a King who comes in humility. Is a King who redefines power. Is a King who loves us even when we falter. is a king who is exalted above all. He's a king like no other. He's a king who saves not by power or brute force, but through love and sacrifice. Hosanna means save us now. That's what the word Hosanna means. Save us now. Christ is mighty to save. And the invitation for his salvation still stands today. The question is whether we will let him. Amen.